The Book Nook on WISO is presented by the Greene County Public Library, with additional support from the Clark County Public Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, Wright Memorial Library, Dayton Metro Library, and Microsun Lamps.
Good morning. Welcome to the Best of the Book Nook on WISO. We've been going back into our Book Nook archive and pulling out some selected interviews that have been recorded over the years. We first started talking to authors on this program back in 1994. And 25 years later, we're still doing it. The other day I had James Lee Burke on the program. He's made more appearances than any other author in the Book Nook. Number two on the list is a writer named Robert Craze. Bob is from Los Angeles, or at least that's where he relocated. He's originally from Louisiana. And back in 1999, he put out a book that signaled a big change in his series, which features the private investigator Elvis Cole. The previous books had been somewhat lighthearted and amusing. And then he got very dark with his 1999 novel L.A. Requiem, which brings us Elvis Cole's sidekick, Joe Pike, and flashbacks to Joe's childhood, which were a new technique for Bob Craze. He came out to see me in Yellow Springs that day in 1999 to talk about L.A. Requiem. Let's listen now to the Best of the Book Nook with Robert Craze.
We're here with the Book Nook, and here with us is Robert Craze. His new book is called L.A. Requiem. Welcome back, Robert.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
Robert, you got a new publisher. What's happening, man?
New publisher's Doubleday, and they're really behind the new book. There's been a great move forward for me. They're got me out on a new tour, new package, new look, in keeping with the whole new me.
Yeah, this is a book that I looked at and I said, this can't be Robert's book because it doesn't have these like really nice, brilliant colors on the cover. You know?
Doesn't look like a Dayglow Hawaiian shirt, does it?
Is Hyperion different than Doubleday?
Totally different. Hyperion's a great press, and they were really good with me and for me for three books. But this is a different type of book. It's a sea change for the way I look at storytelling, for the type of story and characters and themes that I deal with, and I grew to feel that I needed a fresh publisher who saw this book, this novel, the same way I saw it, and that was a man named Steve Rubin, who's the publisher at Doubleday. He came after me and acquired me for them. I'm a Bertelsmann deal, actually, mm-hmm. in that. Bertelsmann is the German company that bought Bantam Doubleday Dell and then bought Random House and merged the two companies. So the hardcover will be with Doubleday, and my paperback will be out with Ballantyne, a Random House company.
So is he the eye in the sky?
The all-seeing. He is for me. I wish I could say that's my eye on the cover. Do I have a malevolent, dangerous eye like that?
Well, not yet.
No, it's the contact lenses, I guess.
The book really is a different book than the other ones you've written. Elvis Cole is there.
Of course.
He is a big part of the story, but you're really focusing on his partner in this book, and you're also doing a lot of flashback stuff in this book, which I thought was pretty major for you.
I've never done it before. Like I said, this is a new way for me to tell a story. Thematically, I think of this book as a book about childhood, even though there's not a single child character in it. It's the driving impetus behind the book for me as the writer is to examine a theme, namely how the seeds of violence we sow in children flourish in adults, and how we all end up paying the price for that. It's a novel about secrets we have in our past. Joe Pike, who is Elvis Cole's partner, has always been an enigmatic, contained, internalized character. Clearly, a man with secrets. I've hinted at some of them, namely Joe Pike, being an ex-LAPD officer, left the force under for reasons I've never before explained, yet left the force in such a way that darn near every LAPD officer reviles him, has loathed him. And in this novel, I wanted to get to his past. I wanted to see what made him become the adult he is, and that meant going back to his childhood with flashbacks.
You also give us a little hint on what Elvis Cole looks like. You have a police officer and a woman working in a restaurant who both think he's kind of cute.
Yeah, I guess Tom Cruise could play him in the movie.
Now, we know that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. I won't sell him to movies.
But you do have a background writing screenplays for television.
It's probably one of the reasons I won't sell them to movies. Yeah, I do. I started as a I started as a short story writer, but my career took a detour in Hollywood, and I wrote and produced television for about 10 years, and occasionally still do the special TV project time to time. But I'm not interested in having Elvis Cole and Joe Pike turned into film.
Now, I was torn, Robert, when you were coming in. I thought either I'm going to start the hour with that song by MC 900 Foot Jesus, which we ended up starting the hour with.
Outstanding.
You use that part of that song as a quote to start your book.
Yes.
And I thought I'll either use that song or I'm going to use I Love L.A. by Randy Newman, because you really love L.A., don't you?
I do. I absolutely – when I first left the swamps of Louisiana, which is where I'm from, and went to Los Angeles to try to break into the television business, I absolutely fell in love with it. I fell in love with the topography of the land, the beauty of the land, the beauty of the city. It is actually a lovely – appropriately photogenic city. I fell in love with the diversity there and love it to this day. It's why I choose to make it my home.
You also love the crime, don't you?
I make my living off crime. I write about human degradation, brutality, violence. I'm fascinated by it. I'm fascinated by the crime. I'm fascinated by police procedure. You know, one of the things I do because of this fascination is, for example, as I move about Los Angeles, my day-to-day business and pleasures, I see interesting places. I think, you know, that'd be a good place to find a body. So I put that in books. Actually, that's true. You know, at the beginning of L.A. Requiem, a young woman's body is found in Lake Hollywood, which is the Hollywood Reservoir in the mountains between the city of Hollywood and Universal. I was up there jogging one morning, and I literally had that thought. I'm jogging around, and it's kind of misty. It's early in the morning. There's all these big pine trees and scrub oaks going up the mountains, and everything looks weird and odd. And I thought, man, what a cool place to find a body. And like that, I saw her. I saw a young woman's body floating at the shore of the lake in the water, and I knew she knows Joe Pike. They had a relationship years ago, and that's how I can get to his past, through her murder. And that's literally how the plot of this book started to evolve.
So your visualization of this corpse in the lake gave you the answer you needed to make the connection between Joe Pike and his past.
Yeah, she was my doorway. Absolutely. And I don't know that this book would exist as is if I physically had not been in that moment and had that kind of weird fever dream flash that I get and imagine that would be something that could happen here.
I must say I did find some irony in the fact that your murder victim was a Tammy Hoag fan.
Well, you're making a reference to the fact that Tammy and I are good friends.
But didn't she have some of Tammy's books in her bedroom?
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. The murder victim just happened to be a fan of Tammy Hoag's novels and had some in her. But, you know, I'll tell you, so are millions of other people. And I like to do that. I mean, I was having fun with Tammy because we're pals, but all through my books, there are popular culture icons.
I mean, MC 900 Foot Jesus?
He's certainly in my top 10 list, not you. Sure.
He's pretty intense.
He's pretty intense.
He reminds me of that Flash in the Pan guy. You remember him?
Walking
in the rain. Remember that guy?
Yes, I do. I do. But it's so, you know, it's funny. I listen to a lot of music when I write. And I often find inspiration in song lyrics, and there have been scenes that I've written while listening to music, and I think subconsciously that somehow there's some sort of rhythmic patterning between the music and what I'm writing, and there's some sort of intent, a melding of intents between song and what I write. And when I first heard that song from MC 900 Foot Jesus years ago, Killer Inside Me, and it resonated because the character in the song is a murderer, is a serial killer who functions in society and is gleeful because he is of such a type that no one suspects him.
They think he's just sort of slow.
They think he's just slow, kind of nice guy they meet who always has a dumb smile on his face, and it makes him feel powerful that, in fact, he's a murderer, and he can sit there, and he can shuck and jive, and he can smile, and they think they're better than him, and he knows that he has the power to kill them at any moment, and could. Because that's who he is. Anyway, what a sick, psychotic individual. Just the kind of person who would appeal to me.
Well, you and Tammy Hogue have been having a little fun with me. You've both been on this program on several occasions. And she was here a month or so ago, and she walked in and she said, "Bob Craze says hi." So you walk in and you say, "Tammy Hogue says hi."
First thing I said to you.
And I was ready to say, "Tammy Hogue says hi" to you, but you were too quick for me. So you guys are good. I mean, you're really working.
We rehearsed that.
It really worked on me. You got me both times. Bob, I really enjoyed reading L.A. Requiem, the parts where I enjoyed it all, but I really loved it when you would change your typeface and you go back into the past, into Pike's past, and get these little snapshots of things that had happened to him in the past. These were really powerful, particularly the one where he is a young recruit in the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And the one where he's a little kid hanging around in the woods. These really help you understand how he became the person he is. How did you visualize these?
As I said earlier, Joe Pike in the first seven books was portrayed as a very internalized, quiet, monosyllabic character who's also capable of great physical violence. I've always felt that rather than simply being a cartoon character, you know, like a Terminator, I've always felt that there were great hurts and pains that in his past that caused him to build a persona that was impenetrable because he's protecting himself. That's why he is capable of such violence. That's why he's so shielded and closed off from people. At least it seems to me he's protecting that soft, vulnerable part inside of himself, the little child, you know, his inner Moppet. that we all have and need to care for as adults. I wanted to show those moments. I wanted the reader, and I wanted to live them too, because that's what I do when I write them. It's sort of like I'm the first reader. I make it up, and then I share it with other readers. I knew there was a depth to his pain. I knew it started in childhood because it starts in childhood for all of us. And I had to go back. I went back as early as to when he was 9 years old, and I revealed himself. And then I revealed him as coming from a childhood with a very abusive and abused home. Later, I showed him as a teenager, as his character is forming later still as a young Marine when he began to learn the skills the physical skills that would result in him being a very dangerous man when he became an adult. It was an adventure for me to relive those moments with Joe Pike.
Robert, I know you're doing something right based on the plugs I see on your book from some very well-known writers. Also, your photos keeps getting bigger on the back of that book, Robert.
Well, it's the new me, Vic. if they make my photo bigger, they have to get fewer blurbs to put on to fill the jacket with. The new publisher is trying to market this thing as what we believe it to be. It's a serious novel. Now, it happens to be a crime novel, but it's the first seven were classic detective novels written to the paradigm of Ross McDonald and Raymond Chandler. I mean, writers whose work I worship and was enormously impacted on. But other things interest me, too. This was a deeper story. It needed a new way for me to tell it, and I didn't think that writing it the way I wrote the first seven would allow me those scenes we were just talking about. How do you show those moments from when another character is, not Elvis Cole, but another character is 9 years old, or when he's 14, when he's 17? How do you reveal what he feels? I wanted this to be a suspense thriller. I wanted it to be a police procedural. I wanted it to be other things. I wanted a broader canvas to paint on. My new publisher sees that in the book. We feel it's a serious book. The other books, the earlier books, were marketed as funny books, and I never really saw them as funny books, but that's the way they were packaged and marketed. This thing is more so, and that's the way we're trying to sell it.
Well, Elvis Cole is kind of a wisecracking guy.
He is.
And I really enjoyed the other books tremendously, but I have to say, this book is the best thing you've done.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, it's funny. When I was writing it, because it's such a departure, I didn't know how people would accept it. I didn't know if I could pull it off. I mean, my intentions were honorable, but it was virgin soil for me. It was a new road to walk down as a writer. And when people like you, whom I respect, the people who've blurbed on the back of the book, who I respect, give me a pat on the back and say, "Well, kid, it looks like you pulled it off." That's pretty satisfying.
You seem to be following a parallel path with your friend Tammy Hoag. I thought her last book was her best, too.
Absolutely, Ashes to Ashes.
Man, where'd she get this violent stuff? She is scaring me.
It's a side to Tammy you never knew. She gets paid extra for that, Vic. You know, actually, Tammy and I disagree about this. I'm a believer, and always have been, that I am all my characters. I am the good guys. I'm Elvis Cole. I'm Joe Pike. But I'm also the bad guys. I think in order for a writer to make really interesting, believable, accessible, relatable characters, including the bad guys, the murderers, the maniacs, the serial killers, little bits and pieces of you have to be the seeds for those characters. I believe that, and I do it. So I will admit to you that I am the bad guy in my book also. Tammy, of course, she won't touch that. You know, she writes fabulous suspense thrillers. The bad guys are psychopaths, you know, sexual psychopaths. Oh, no, I just know about it, but that's not me. And we kid each other about that.
Now, Elvis Cole, in this book, he's really in the book almost as much as he ever is.
Yes.
But he is more peripheral than normal because Pike, even though he's not always in the picture, is really the centerpiece of the book, what's going on with him.
Yes.
Lucy, Elvis's love interest, is this the first book where she's actually living in L.A.?
This is the first book. He meets a few books ago in Louisiana. They meet. They have a long-distance relationship, separated by 2,000 miles for a few books. and they've reached a point in their relationship where she has been offered a very lucrative job in Los Angeles, and she agrees to accept it. Now she and her son are living in L.A. for where you know, it's like a dream come true, because now the two lovers can live in the same city and be together. Unfortunately, in L.A. Requiem, strains are put to their relationship, which tests their relationship and cause problems.
I think one of the really strong side things in the book is one of those sources of strain, which is the female detective who Elvis does some work with. She's a wonderfully, wonderfully drawn character, and I really enjoyed her character a lot, and the readers will have to find out what that's all about when they read the book. But I must say, when Lucy is in the book, Elvis is really, really elated for a while, and then he gets more and more uptight, and things get worse for him relationship-wise.
Yes.
And at the end of the book, you're really wondering, you know, what's going on there, and I'm sure that we'll find out in the next book. You're going to continue
Ultimately,
this series, aren't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the Elvis and Lucy are in love, and when you're in love, you want to be the most important person in your partner's life, of course. But Elvis has been partners with his friend Joe Pike for many, many, many years, and the story in this novel places his friend Joe at in mortal risk. At the same time, Lucy Chenier is learning things about Joe Pike, the man she loves, friend and partner. She's learning things about him that she's never known before, that terrify her, that make her fearful, that make her mistrust him, that make her wonder why on earth would Elvis Cole want to be friends with a guy like this. And Elvis is forced to make choices in this book, and they're not always the choices that are comfortable and easy. And unfortunately, I think, and maybe what's just all too human, they're the choices that we often have to make between, you know, wives, lovers, husbands, families, careers. They make us uncomfortable. We're not always happy with the choices we have to make.
My guest is Robert Kraes. Robert, when you were growing up, did you ever think about a career in law enforcement?
Actually, no. I come from a family that's half law enforcement. So I saw the home side of it, and it never fascinated me to that extent where I wanted to, because I saw what was brought home, that it's a really hard job. It's a tough job. There's a lot of strain that goes with being a police officer, and it's also a thankless job. I secretly wanted to escape reality. For as far back as I can remember. That's what I knew what I wanted to do. I was the Martian in my life.
What parish were they enforcing the laws in?
East Baton Rouge Parish for Baton Rouge City Police Department, and the entire state for Louisiana State Deputy Police.
Hmm. So way back when you had a forebear that was Huey Long's bodyguard, huh?
Yes. Yeah, which is... he's lucky he survived.
Yeah.
You mean Huey?
No.
It's bodyguards. There's long stories there. That's a pun.
Okay. The book is L.A. Requiem. Robert Kraes has joined us. This is the kind of book where it's really hard to talk about it in much detail because the reader really needs to go there and travel down that meandering path to the conclusion. And
there's so many plot reverses in the book. The plots switch back and forth. There's reveals along the way. I mean, it's tough to talk about without spoiling things.
And you have a certain degree of sleight of hand, as I would expect, with certain things. The reader gets really scared at certain points, and you do a reverse, like you say, and somewhere you're suddenly somewhere else.
Absolutely. Well, Vic, I'm good at my job. One hopes. Look, this. I had never, for example, private eyes don't solve homicides. You know, that's something police do. Private eyes, by their nature, do other types, missing persons and fraud, divorce work, things like that. I'm fascinated by cop work. I'm absolutely fascinated by it, by the technology of it, by the procedure of it. Like I said earlier, you know, in addition to being a fan of detective novels, I've long been a fan of police procedurals, suspense thrillers. You know, you've had Tammy here, you've spoken with her. You know, she researches heavily. So do I. I've been over 20 ride-alongs with LAPD. I've been on ride-alongs with Secret Service, with FBI.
Did I see you in the Rodney King video?
Yeah, that was me in the back with. Well, never mind. To learn about it, the fascination of it, how they solve crimes, was a big research issue for me. I had to go out. I had to introduce myself, and I wanted to get it in the book how a homicide task force actually works, how homicide investigators work with criminalists from the Scientific Investigations Division, how they work with the medical examiner. You know, what really goes on in an autopsy? Even the micro stuff, like how do they determine time of death? I went out, I witnessed all these things, I learned all these things, and in putting them all together, I was trying to build a kind of a suspense novel roller coaster ride with lots of real hard left and right turns and unexpected banks and really tell a fast-paced forward story.
Well, you done did it, Robert. It's quite a read. It's called L.A. Requiem. It's a new book by Robert Craze. It's really an incredibly developed plot with all kinds of stuff going on, and I think readers in this genre will really enjoy it.
Thank you. I hope so. I know I enjoyed writing it.
Thanks for coming.
My pleasure, Vic.
You've been listening to the Best of the Book Nook on WYSO, my 1999 interview with Robert Craze, talking about his novel L.A. Requiem. You heard it on 91.3 WYSO, giving voice to our community, our nation, and our world since 1958. And Bob Craze is one of those writers. I just feel an instant rapport whenever I talk to him. He's done a dozen interviews on the program over the years. And if he ever writes another book, I'd love to have him back again. He's really slowed down. He used to put out a book a year. Then it was like a book every 2 years. And now sometimes it's 3 years between books. I don't know if he's just taking it easy or he's having a little writer's block. But he's really an amazing writer. And I love talking to him about that groundbreaking book, L.A. Requiem, which represented a real change in his style and his approach to that series, which features Elvis Cole. For the Best of the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis. Thanks, as always, for tuning in.